I want to read this evening from the Epistle to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to read the first 29 verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was translated that he did not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. And we'll end at verse 29, and we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word. As I said this morning, in recent days I've been reacquainting myself with the life of Moses. It has been a great encouragement to me, a great encouragement to know that the scriptures call a man who was 40 years of age a young man, a great encouragement to look at a man whose main ministry in life didn't begin until he was 80 years of age. So that makes me feel that there might be some life left in me yet. There are many lessons to be learned from the life of Moses. As he grew up, Acts 7:22 tells us that he was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And I don't know whether we can grasp what that means. But basically it means that he was indoctrinated with philosophies that were totally alien to the truth of God. Moses didn't have the luxury of a conservative evangelical education. His education was totally secular and pagan. And yet, for all that, somehow there had been an influence in his early years, no doubt, from his mother. Because he knew about the God of Israel. He knew the truth of God. And the struggle must have been going on in his life and his soul. And decision time came. When he grew up, when he was around 40 years old, and in the ancient world, that he was in the prime of young manhood. But it was make your mind up time for Moses. He had come to a fork in the road of life. And he had to choose between two paths. And it was not an easy decision. And whichever road he took, it would affect the rest of his life and ultimately his destiny. And I want us to take time this evening just to look at Moses' decision and say four very simple things about that decision that's recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 to 27. And the first thing that we are confronted with is the fact that it was a faith decision. It says in verse 24 that by faith Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There were many other things that he could have considered. Reason would say to him, Moses, you've got it made here. The ball is at your feet. You have everything you will ever need. You're set for life. I mean, as far as Moses was concerned, here was a young man, and all the riches of Egypt were at his disposal. He would never want. The ball was really at his feet. Sentiment would say to him, Pharaoh's daughter has done more for you than anyone else. And I'm sure there was a possible struggle with that. She had clothed him. She had fed him. She had educated him. The whole struggle of how can I turn away from her and from her people and from her gods. No doubt there were many of these things that were clamoring for a hearing in his mind. But at the end of the day, it was an act of faith. And we read earlier in the chapter that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he that cometh to God must first of all believe that he is. Romans 10:17 reminds us that faith comes through hearing. And somehow, God had communicated to Moses. Somehow, he heard. Somehow, he believed. Somehow, he obeyed in faith. It was a stepping out on the promise of God. It was a faith decision. And becoming a Christian is a faith decision. You cannot be saved without faith. You can't become a Christian. You can't come to know God without faith, without trusting in the Lord Jesus. That's what the gospel is all about. How do you get saved? The Philippian jailer asked, what do I do? What must I do to be saved? And the answer came, believe. Trust, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And somehow, it is so difficult for us to grasp that, and for men and women today to grasp that. But that is the truth of the gospel. It has got to be a faith decision. That doesn't mean that the gospel is the opposite of reason and that it's not reasonable. When I was out in Peru during the summer, one of the girls on the team was doing a children's talk, and she was teaching the children Isaiah 1:18. She was from the Shankill Road, and in typical Shankill Road fashion, she tried to simplify it. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. And she said, God says, come here a wee minute, I want to talk to you. And Trevor Morrow was trying to translate this. But you know, that's what God wanted through Isaiah, to talk to the people, to reason with them. To say, look, here's the reality. Even though your sins are as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. And the truth of the gospel is that no matter how bad you have been, no matter what the circumstances have been in your life, no matter how difficult 2004 was, and no matter how black things may seem right now, you can still come in faith and trust in Jesus, the Jesus whom Beverly was singing about, who died on the cross for sinners. And that's the only way that you will be saved. Moses' decision was a faith decision. You had to step out and trust God. The second thing I want to say about his decision is it was a far-sighted decision. Verse 26 tells us that he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses was taking the long-term view. That's not a very popular view to take in today's world in anything. A long-term view of a job today is probably that you might be there for 3 years. A long-term investment might be 3 years. Long-term in today's world is short-term in everything. But Moses was looking at the long-term view and looking beyond the scene of time. He was looking to his reward. Moses realized that he needed to take a long-term view of this thing. He had position. He had pleasures. He had treasures. But he realized that they were only for a season. He came to the conclusion that it was better to have treasures in heaven than treasures in Egypt. That it was better to be in favor with God than in favor with men. And he was at an age when the pleasures of sin would seem most attractive, when the opportunities for gaining prominence in Egypt would be the most tempting. But he took the long-term view. And you know, when it comes to the gospel, we need to learn to do the same. We need to be far-sighted. We need to look beyond this earth and into eternity. Because at the end of the day, what is life on earth compared to eternity? What is 60 years or 70 years or 80 years or 90 years or even 100 years? What is it compared to eternity? Make no mistake about it. The devil will want you to take a short-term view. He'll hold up the pleasures and the treasures of this world and try to get you to focus on them rather than eternity. We've been reminded this past week vividly how fragile life is. People can be sitting one moment enjoying themselves on a holiday beach, and the next moment in eternity. That's a sobering thought. I don't know about you, but it was a sobering thing to me to watch on the television people literally drowning and drowned. Bodies of little children and young people all around. Gone into eternity. Into eternity. Old people used to say, life is short and eternity's long. And that's true. Life is short, eternity's long. And if there are young people here tonight and you don't know the Lord, I want to urge you to take the long-term view. Don't allow the devil to get you to make a short-term investment with your life in his pleasures. And seeking earthly treasure. Do what Moses did. Take a far-sighted decision. Realize that there is only one life, and it will soon be passed. And it's only what's done for Jesus that will last. And it's interesting that thirdly, it was a farewell decision. Verse 27 says, he forsook Egypt. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was a big step. And he didn't regard giving these things up as a sacrifice. Rather, they counted for nothing in the light of his gain. There was no sitting on the fence. Moses realized that if he was going to step out and trust God, he had to say farewell to Egypt. He had to count the cost and pay the cost. There was no easy believism here. It cost Moses to make this decision. It was to be farewell to the pleasures of sin. It was to say goodbye to the prospect of ruling from the loftiest throne of the ancient world. When Jesus called his disciples, he asked them for a similar decision. He asked them to forsake all and follow him. For them, all might have been just a few nets and boats. For Moses, it was an empire. And we need to understand that at this point in time, Moses didn't fully realize or understand all that God had for him in the future. But it was a farewell decision. Moses wasn't going to try to walk a middle road and get the best out of both worlds. The Apostle Paul wrote about how he faced the same dilemma in Philippians 3 and 7. Although his dilemma was not so much between the pleasures of the world and following Christ as it was between the respectability of position and of religion. And he writes in Philippians 3 and 7, the things that were gain to me, I counted loss for Christ. In fact, he says, I count everything, all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. There is a sense in which we are called upon to refuse all that is contrary to the revealed will of God. A decision to become a Christian is a faith decision. It's a far-sighted decision. It has got to be a farewell decision. Jesus told the story of, in Luke chapter 14, in verses 28 to 32, no man sits down to build a tower without counting the cost first and figuring it out in case he hasn't got enough to finish it. Or no man goes into battle without looking at his resources and counting the cost. It will cost to follow Christ. It costs. Make no mistake about it. It was a farewell decision. And fourthly, it was a final decision. This was not a trial run. I detest when people talk about they've tried everything else, now try Jesus. This was not a trial run. By faith, he persevered. He did not fear the wrath of the king. This was a lifelong commitment. Despite the afflictions that he knew it would bring, Moses knew that he was throwing in his lot with a despised people. And he was in it for life. There was no sense, well, if this doesn't work out, I can somehow come back and climb on board in Egypt again. There was no sense of that whatsoever. He kept on going by faith. And the Christian life is like that. We are saved by faith at the beginning. We are being saved by faith day by day. And there's a sense in which it is true what we were singing. The Christian life is about simply trusting day by day. Looking to Jesus to see us through. Christians are not perfect people, but they are forgiven people. They are people who are persevering by faith and trusting in the Lord. And make no mistake about it. What Paul wrote to Timothy is true in 2 Timothy 3 and 12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution in one way or another. When you follow Jesus, when you take a decision to follow him, you suffer. We all have to choose between life and death, between sin and the Savior, between good and evil, between God and the devil, between the pleasures of sin for a season and eternal suffering, between heaven and hell. And pleasure is a fleeting, transient, temporary thing. Pleasure is like bubbles in the bath. The minute you grab them, they're gone. And you keep on grabbing some more until it's all gone. Whereas the pleasures of God, according to Psalm 16 and 11, are forevermore. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Moses had to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to step out with the people of God. Tell me, have you ever taken a decision to follow Jesus? Maybe there's somebody here tonight and it's the first Sunday in 2005. And God has brought you here and you're at the crossroads. And through his word tonight, he's been challenging you. It's time to step out in faith and follow Christ. Let me tell you, the spiritual and eternal blessing that is gained in following Christ far outweighs anything that this world has to offer. Like Moses, we need to fix our eyes on eternity and on its values. Take a faith decision tonight. Trust Christ. Turn from your sin and trust in him. Take a far-sighted decision. Look to eternity. Take a farewell decision. Be prepared to give up the pleasures of the world. Take a final decision. Take a decision that you're going into this for life. I would plead with you tonight to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. May God bless his word.